yourself to me as I wait. You make me strong as I long. Draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come, and you fill this place as I wait. You make me strong as I long. Draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come, and you fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place? I'm here to meet with you. That is your heart today. You know, you will always hear me preach of mercy and grace. And, you know, without it, we're lost. Amen? And so I hope that you get excited about what God has done and what he continues to do for you. Because there was a day when you were dead. And if you are a believer here today, there was a moment when he brought you new life. Amen? Let's sing about that glorious day. Sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. That he is the king of your heart today, because there is no king that I would rather bow before than him. Let's sing King of My Heart. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna. Gonna let me down, 'cause you are good.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. I was saying to the first service that there is so many times in our life where earthly love fails us, you know? And there's people who, if you are smart and they frustrate you and constantly suck energy from you, you may put up some special boundaries where you say, you know what? I love you, but I wisely am going to love you in portions that I can take, right? And then I think of God's relationship with us. How patient is he with you and I? That as annoying as you and I are, if we're going to be real honest about it, he is waiting every second to hear our cry. And he's patient, and he is good, and his love always remains. And so I don't know how love has maybe hurt you in the past in your earthly experiences, but if you're here or you're listening on the podcast today, I want you to know that there is a love that never fails, and it will always remain for you, and it's the love of the Father. Oh, receive it, receive it, receive it. Let's sing One Thing Remains. Higher than the mountains that I hope that you have come to worship, right? That he is worthy of our praise, and hope that he is your focus this morning. Let's sing Heart of Worship. Today, I'm checking my mask. Like, I have to make sure my nose piece. I didn't realize, but last week something was really wrong and I had it upside down. Anyway, the days in which we live, right? That's okay. It's only a mask. I can put up with it for a little bit. Anyway, you guys, we started this series called The Kingdom Come. And last week, I was hoping that you would get this, that you would wrestle it to the ground, that the kingdom of God awaits you. Right now it awaits you. It's hidden in plain sight, right in the mess and the muck of everyday life. That God is waiting to join you and to partner with you, and it is a treasure, and it's a fine pearl. And once it's found, again, it's found by everybody who's what? Willing to seek. If you seek, you will find it. And once you find it, guys, it is so intoxicating, it will consume you.
to understand that you can see with spiritual eyes, you can hear with spiritual ears, that the God of all of the universe is longing to change the community and change our families and change our lives if we would only be seeking. And you know what? It's a reality that's filled with peace, amen? A reality that's filled with joy and with love, a reality that's filled with divine appointments and miracles. You know, there's so many believers that don't even scratch the surface of the power that is available to us in this life, and it's because they have never let the kingdom come, right? Let the kingdom come. Let your life experience who the Spirit is in all of his depths, and you'll want nothing less. So I want to ask you, have you been praying for the kingdom this week? Have you been praying for his return? Again, it'll change the way you live, right? And today I want to look a little deeper into that thought to kind of flush it out a little more, but more so our responsibilities in that. Mark 1 is a fascinating book. Again, I always tell you, wherever we're preaching, take some time and read all about it. Mark 1 is one of those interesting books. It begins Christ's ministry on earth, really, right? And you see John the Baptist proclaiming the good news, and we see the baptism of Jesus in Mark chapter 1. We see Mark recording that Jesus goes into the wilderness for the 40 days of tempting from Satan himself. If you've ever been nervous of demonic forces, you need to see how our Lord and Savior handled them, right? And learn and drink all of that in, right? He meets the devil himself and always has an answer. And then what happens? He begins his earthly ministry. So that's what's happening in Mark chapter 1. I want to focus in on verses 14 and 15. John has just been arrested. It says this. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, when we think of this phrasing, we have Jesus right out of the gate, and he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's his earthly ministry. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God for you and I. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God for those who have yet to believe. And you know what? If you mark up your Bible, which again, I'm getting better. I'm using notebooks because Bibles are expensive now. And now that I'm not in university anymore, people don't give them to me like they used to, right? So I've started kind of putting Bibles on a shelf that are too marked up and have pages missing from being on the road and being on the bike. And I've started using notebooks. But if you underline, or if you have a notebook, I want you to underline or write this down. The good news of God is that the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe. Now, if you are listening today, even online, you may find that very odd. This word repent, used in the same phrase as good news, right? Repent. What does repent mean? It means to experience sincere regret and remorse by turning to God. How many of you grew up in the hellfire and brimstone days of church? There is nothing wrong with that. You know what? It's kind of interesting. I wish that we would lean a little more back towards that way because there was a lot of, in that movement, there was a lot of screaming and yelling, and I think that I kind of fit in there a little better, right? But in this whole idea of fire and brimstone, sometimes, you know what, you had to deal with a lot of guilt, didn't you? And that's not a bad thing, that's not a good thing, it simply was. The problem was is that when we used to hear the word screamed at us that we needed to repent, oftentimes we left church not feeling good, but instead feeling broken. So what did that movement do well? Well, what they did well is they proclaimed that God was holy, and they pointed out that you and I are not. Now, that's a good revelation, but you know what? It was a hard truth, and a lot of times it was said in harsh ways, wasn't it? Now, again, effective, if you look at the momentary, when we look at the long term, we find out that a lot of people who came to the Lord during the hellfire and brimstone days didn't stay with the Lord. And a lot of reasons that I have for that is because the word repent had a negative connotation to them. So now, even today, when somebody hears that word repent, what do we do? Sometimes we cringe. Because repent is one of those words that we think of crazy guys. How many of you seen the feller standing on the soapbox that's looking a little dirty like he needs a shower, and he hasn't seen a barber in days, and I do see a barber. Actually, I shaved my head last night, so don't. I'm just thinking I am that guy, aren't I? Who's standing on the soapbox holding up a sign that says, repent, the kingdom of God is near, or repent, Jesus is returning. And sometimes we think of those moments or those words or those guys, well, they're radical, aren't they? And the conclusion that we have is, he's nuts. Like sometimes we have a negative connotation when it comes to that. I told this joke before, but it's worth telling again. There was four fellas, and they decided that they were going to hold up a sign and love the community that week. So there they were, and cars were whizzing by, and the first guy had a sign that said, turn back now! Right? And he had some people honking at him. The next guy was just a little ways down the road, and he said, beware, the doom is ahead, right? And the cars were still honking at him and thinking, man, they're out in bunches, the crazies today, right? They went down a little further, and they ran into the third guy. He had a sign, and it said, stop before it's too late. And finally, you ran into the fourth guy. It said, change your course and be saved. And they're holding these signs up, and they're waving it at cars, and cars thinking these guys are just crazy. Well, after a little while, they all got together because nobody was stopping, and they kept hearing this terrible crunching at the end of the road, and they said, guys, maybe we should change it up a bit. Why don't we just make a sign that says the bridge is out ahead? Right? You see, sometimes the message gets lost because of the look of the messenger. And sometimes the message gets lost because of the delivery of the message. You know, and our society is a society that seems to have gotten very fragile. And I don't like that. I don't think that that's a good thing, right? Lord forbid we're ever called to a world war. I'd be sad at what the enemy would see coming at them, right? It's kind of one of those times where I feel like our society is very, very fragile. And this word repent is a terminology that many in our society are uncomfortable with, right? Do you ever talk to somebody about repenting? See how that goes, right? But it's not one of those words that is embraced. It's one of those words that kind of is dismissed. And we're programmed now in a way to think negatively of some of those things that call for change on our part. I remember my grandmother always doing this. I would go over and see her, especially when I was in university. She was so fascinated at what I was doing. I still wasn't her favorite, and that's okay. But I would go over, and I'd see Grandma, and we'd sit down at the kitchen table. And I'd say, Grandma, how was church? Because that was something that we could connect with. Right? I said, how was church? And she would go, oh, Andrew, it was some good today. You know what? Your uncle, and she would give a list of names, your uncles, they should have been there for this message. And then, you know what? I put up with it once, and then we went back the second time, and I said to Grandma, you know, how was church this week? When I started asking that question, she said, well, you know what? Your aunt, and then she would give me a name. She said, that message was right for her. And I went, that's interesting. Time after time, I would go back, and I did it probably, she said it about six times before I finally called it on her. And I said, Grandma, I said, you went to church today, and you have a list of everybody that it was good for. I said, did you ever stop to think that maybe today's message was for you? She got real quiet. And then she wanted to talk about the horses in the olden days, right? Right? It was amazing to me that when I called her on it and I said, you know what, Grandma, the word of God is timeless and it is for us. It's for each of us. And the word of God is living and it should be changing you and challenging you. And I said, today's message, did you ever think that maybe today's message was for you? But she was so dismissive of it, right? And I think it's amazing that there's so many times where we are dismissive when all of a sudden we are challenged or a word comes in that we have a poor association with. And here is Mark saying, recording that Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe it's good news. It's not bad news, right? It's not to be guilt-ridden and filled with pain and horror. It is the good news to repent. And here Jesus isn't yelling. Jesus isn't pointing out a finger at us and giving a list of all the things that we've ever done wrong. Jesus isn't screaming from the soapbox somewhere on the corner holding a sign. He's saying that, you know what? Repent is good. To repent is good news. That loving and sharing the good news of the kingdom starts with repenting and believing. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. And yet, why then is our society so scared of the church? And so scared of that word, repent. And they, you know what? When you start to talk about repentance, all of a sudden they think you're nuts. You know, and I get it because people have been hurt by the church. Like, people have been hurt by the church. And I've asked you guys this 1,000 times. How many people have been hurt by the church? You've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the church, right? It doesn't mean that you stop going to church, right? I heard that quote one day. It was probably a couple months ago. It said, if you have a bad meal, you don't stop going to restaurants. You may stop going to that restaurant, but you don't stop eating out just because you had a bad meal. And I was thinking, how many people have written off the church because of one bad meal, so to speak? Do you know that the church is the idea of Jesus? And so when we say, you know what, I hate the church, I'm angry at the church, I'm disappointed in the church, think about what you're saying, that you are hurt and disappointed and angry at the bride of Christ. You know, he loved her so much, he loved the church so much, that he gave his life for her. Shouldn't we be ready to do the same? And when I think back of my history of the church, there's been times that people have let me down, but Christ hasn't. And there's been times that leaders has failed, but Christ hasn't. And there's been moments where the church has frustrated me. But you know what? When I think of all of the good that has come out of the church, let me tell you and proclaim and testify today that the church, which is Christ's idea, has done me far more good than it could have ever done harm. When I think of the accountability, when I think of the love, when I think of the encouragement and the teaching and the strength and the friendships that I have gained because of the church, how could I ever be mad at her? How could I ever be or remain uncomfortable here? That you and I were created to be the kingdom on earth, and the church, when it acts like it is meant to act, when it is as it is meant to be, is the most beautiful thing you've ever experienced. And it's his idea. Think about it. His children living in his image, moving as his hands and feet, being his messengers, shining his light, proclaiming his truth, being a voice to the lost. And it's all his design. If we would only embrace what so many have come to fear. I don't want us to fear repentance. I want us to embrace repentance. Jesus says it's good news. It's good news. And when the church embraces, you see some people say, well, you're talking about repentance, Pastor. That's because you're an evangelist. And you know what? This is a good message for the community. This is a good message for the church. Because if the church was to experience repentance, then guess what? We would act as we should act. Matthew 25:40, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did it for me. That if the church would embrace repentance as the good news, there'd be a whole lot more loving and a whole lot more helping in the world. 1 John 4:7-8, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, the answer to the kingdom is still good news. Repent.
Don't hate the word. Don't overanalyze the word. Don't fear the word from past experiences. You know what? If we would embrace it and run to it and desire it, we would understand that it's still good news. Repent is the good news for us. Yes, it's for the lost. But let me tell you this, that the day the church forgets that repentance is the good news for them too, it's the day the church is already lost. So if repent is good for the lost, whoo, is repent ever good for the church? You know, and yet time after time, we see hate coming from denominations, coming from pulpits, coming from churches. We see pain being offered instead of love. You know, we long for grace and mercy in our own lives, but you know what? I'm just about done with those neighbors of mine. Are you kidding me? Well, Andrew, I'm getting pretty tired of these lockdowns, and I'm just about done. I'm going to buy some ammo. I go, wow, that sounds like love, doesn't it? Repent. Listen, church. To experience sincere regret and remorse by turning to God. Now, let me ask you, church, when has it ever worked out bad for you to turn towards God? Right? When has that ever been a bad thing? It's not. Why? Because it's still the good news. And it's loving him enough to turn away from the mess that we make. So you know what? Repentance is all about direction. And you know what I'm trying to do today? I'm trying to help us, the church, to see the good news that this wisdom of repentance awaits for us too. That you know what? Are you doing things his way or are you in the way? Do you check your direction often? Or are you going with the flow? You know what I admire? Those who swim upstream. Those who go against the flow. Those who are conscious enough to say, you know what? What does God want of me? But you see, there's so many times that those already safely in the fold of the kingdom, they take it for granted, and they're the ones who are seemingly in most danger of losing it. So what do you feel when I say repentance? Let me tell you, church, it's still the good news. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. You know, maybe you're here today or you're listening and you say, well, I've never ever repented. I've never came to that place. I never ever surrendered to the Lord because you know what? Boy, the church has hurt me. The church has messed me up. Those things, I've just been so scared of God. And that came from the church. Whew, he's a scary dude. I fear him. I fear him. You know what? I totally understand that. But one bad meal should not put you off of restaurants. Repentance is the kingdom come. And to know him, we must first receive him. He has already done it all for you. Maybe you've never, ever repented, and I want to challenge you right now that today could be the day of salvation. Repentance isn't about what God will rob from you. Repentance is running to him and embracing him, and let his embrace complete you. Oh, that we would not be scared of that word or any connotation that we would have of it. Would we let the kingdom come? Would today be the day of salvation? Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. That you are tired of doing it all alone. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. You are tired of feeling lost. You are tired of being broken. You'd say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. You are tired of making a mess. You are tired of everything turning to mud. You are tired of wandering. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. And you know, church, that is a prayer that sometimes we in the church forget.
But it would serve us well if we would remember it, because we should be checking our direction all of the time. Let me ask you, do you know the Good Shepherd? What is he saying to you right now? Where is he leading you right now? Because church, repentance is still the good news for us. We should know his voice. We should follow his direction. We should be safely by his side, even when he's leading us into battle. Wow. Check your direction, church. Don't take repentance for granted to the point where you're in danger of losing it yourself.
Boy, there's some Baptists out there that probably want to argue with me. What are you talking about, losing it? Boy, when we forget to check our direction, let me just tell you this. A small adjustment out of the way takes you a long, long way from your destination over time. Check your course, folks. Check your course. Check your course. Check your course. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. It's God's design. It's the good news. Oh, that the church would embrace repentance, and the world that watches would desire what we have. The kingdom come. Let's pray. Father, we need you. And how we forget that is amazing to me. We need you. Lord, we need you. Every moment we need you. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Absolutely. Why? Because if I lived yesterday right, well, then the enemy wants nothing more than to take me out, and I'm in his crosshairs. And Father God, I pray that your voice would be clear and I would be found seeking, and even more than that, that I would be obedient to all that you are telling me to do. The time is short. Would I be found checking my course and always being at a place where I would embrace all that you have, and I'd be fleeing everything that doesn't belong in me. Lord, repentance is the good news. It's still the good news today. Jesus, I need you. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Always, always, always. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an incredible week, and let the Lord lead, and keep praying that the kingdom would come.